Okay, here we go. I originally intended that this should be a discussion about being down the chavzkut, sort of a continuation of Janice Schneider's, Dr. Schneider's talk about judging others favorably. But every time I went to go to look back at my notes, I would say, ooh, well, here's another good idea. Oh, here's another good idea. So I will again not be speaking about judging others favorably, but I'll be talking about the nature of Rosh Hashanah and trying to understand, because we're talking about right before Rosh Hashanah. And God willing, maybe next week, before Yom Kippur, I will talk about this idea of being done with chavzkus and judging others favorably, because I guess if you want God to judge you favorably, you have to judge others favorably as well. So it's a good thing to practice during a seder to make tshuva. I want to also publicly thank Rabbi Sofer for giving the shiur last week, and I heard he was very good. It was very good. So he's not here, but I'm thanking him to you. Okay, Rosh Hashanah is a very heavy time. It's the day of judgment, the Yom Hadin, and there's nothing that articulates Rosh Hashanah more than, you're on page one, Nisana Tokef. We all know Nisana Tokef. And the question I'm going to ask for you today is, don't you sometimes feel, it's such a drag? Am I allowed to say that? I'm the rabbi, right? Right? You're just thinking like rabbi. You can't say that. Rosh Hashanah. Judgment. It's heavy. It's life and death.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It's frightening.
I'm used to it.
You like it?
I don't play.
You know, I'll just say, it's interesting. Rina had jury duty. She didn't actually sit on a jury. She never ended up sitting on a jury, but she had jury duty. And she said the whole thing was very heavy. You go in there and, you know, and the judge is asking you questions, and I don't know, you know, like, and that's, she said, that's when she herself is judging somebody else. You feel this weight. But what about when you're being judged? I mean, do we feel that heavy? So, I mean, it's worthwhile to read through to understand. The Rosh Hashanah, we all know Nisana Tokef. Nisana Tokef Kudusas Hayom. Let's relate the power of this day's holiness. Tokef. What does Tokef mean? Kifa. The strength, the power. That's a powerful day. Kihu Nora Vayom. It is Nora, great and awesome. Ubo Tinase Malchutecha. On it, your kingship will be exalted. Riyikon Bechesed Kisecha. Your throne will be firmed with kindness. Veteshev Alav Be'emet. And you will sit on your throne in emes, in truth. You want to listen? Fine. Okay. Emes, you know what the truth is? Ki hatahu dayan u'mochiach. You're the judge and the prosecutor. V'yodea va'ed. You prove and you bear witness. V'kosev v'chosein. And you write and you seal. V'tizkor kol hanishkachos. And you remember all that was forgotten. V'tziftach es sefer zichronos. And you open the book of remembrances. U'me'ilo v'yikare. And you read it. V'chosam yad kol adam bo. And everybody's signature is in that book. Did you know your signature is in that book, Henry? Have you signed that book recently? It's there. U'bashofar gadol yitaka. And they blow that great shofar. Kol demama daka yishama, and the small voice is heard. By the way, it's worthwhile, we're not going to do it today, but it's worthwhile to study Nisana Tokef to understand that the Nisana Tokef traverses a lot of different types of judgment. And there are references here to different areas of judgment. I'll just give you a hint. Okay? When does a person sign that book?
When you die,
you get up to the pearly gates, Kav Yochel, right? And the guy looks at you and he says, "Sign here." And you say, "What am I signing?"
Do I have to?
Yeah. If you want in, you do. Right? There ain't no lawyer. God is the lawyer. Because Barker is the lawyer. Get to here.
How do we know this?
What?
How do we know this?
Okay, one second. Uba shofar gadol yitaka. And that great shofar is blown. When is the great shofar blown? What?
When you get there.
After you sign.
No. No. When is the shofar heard?
Mashiach.
Right? The kol demama daka yishama. The small voice is heard. So again, there's all different judgment days. Right? We call it judgment days. There's a person's individual judgment day. Rosh Hashanah is referenced to here. The day of Rosh Hashanah is a reference. The day of your death is a reference. The day of, you know, all the day of Mashiach, we're going to be judged on that day. A lot of different references in the Sanatoka. The angels will hasten. The chil ura'ada yolchezun. Right? Ra'ada, what is ra'ada? You're trembling. It grabs you. Today is the day of judgment. It's like, you know, the reason why the Chazan does it over and over again, you know, it's not even, you know, the way we do it here in shul. We all know it, right?
Yeah.
What does it sound like to you? Now it's abstract. Just listen to my singing and tell me what does it sound. What? It's a death march. It's a death march. Do you ever think about that when you listen to it? Ugh. What? Of course it's very powerful, and it's meant to be powerful. As well it should. That's kind of why it's there. Now, just I'll advertise. I always cheat by doing this. I will, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon of the Sigish year, I'm going to be talking about this story and Rabbi Amnon of Mainz. And who was he? Where did he come from? And how was this story written? I'm going to talk about some other elements of this story that are of the story of Rabbi Amnon that refer to Rosh Hashanah and teach us a lot of lessons. Yeah. Second day. First day, I'm talking something else. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, that's in Shul.
The afternoon. Yeah, Sigish year.
On Friday?
Friday. What? An hour before Mincha. You're already done cooking by then.
He's done already?
Yeah, he's finished.
It's not the...
She was already going to crash. No need to crash. Right. Yeah.
You mentioned before the things that Rabbi Sofer said.
Yeah.
And I'm still not too clear on that. That we're going to be judged, he told us, the day we die. On Rosh Hashanah, the day we die, and when Mashiach comes.
Correct.
What are we going to be judged for when Mashiach comes? We've already gone through all that.
Why does that big shofar blown? I mean, maybe you have to readjust your vision of Mashiach, right? Mashiach will come and redeem the world. Think that's going to be an easy thing? Think that's going to be a fun process? Think it's going to be a picnic? Ain't gonna be such a picnic. Not like we all were told when we were in yeshiva. If you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I was anticipating death was the second sign.
Yeah.
So we're all gone. We've all been judged. Some of us, hopefully, everybody.
The world is judged before the Mashiach comes, because something's got to bring God to
the world. Because you can't do any more.
Oh, once you're dead, no, you're done. Right.
When Mashiach comes.
The whole world has to be judged. It's a great judgment of the world. Yeah. Okay. Marosha stripped down the second paragraph that we all know. What?
Once I'm dead, don't I have to sign up there?
You get to sign, yeah. You have to sign.
Even though I'm dead.
Apparently. So they say. So they tell me. I don't remember. Thank God. Just the power of the day. Kama Yavrun, how many will die? How many will be born? Who will die? Who will live and who will die? Who in his time, me below Bikicho, who not in his time, and then it gets really heavy. Instead of saying who will be born, then it gets, one second, then it gets like, who will die of water, who with fire, who by sword, who by animal, who by hunger, who by thirst, who by noise, who by plague, who by strangulation, who by stoning. And then it gets a little better. Who will rest and who will wander, who will live in harmony, who will be harried, who will enjoy tranquility and who will suffer. Who will be impoverished and who will be rich? Who will be degraded and who will be exalted? But, you know, the reason we sing it as a dirge is because it's a dirge. And so I ask you, Rosh Hashanah, I mean, that's the way we look at judgment. Who wants to be judged?
We have a choice.
Who needs it? You know, what? You don't have a choice? You have a lot of choice. Many Jews choose not to be judged in Rosh Hashanah. You know, it's a turnoff in a way. What? That's true. Yeah, I had a question.
It says who is predestined time and who before. Isn't anybody's time that time?
No.
Why? Isn't Rabban Shlomo the one that says that's your time? Just because
when he says if you are
predestined time.
I think, okay, this is beyond me, to be honest with you. But there is an idea that when a person is born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I definitely believe, and I definitely believe that a person can be taken before his time.
What?
Before the time that God gave you, God designed you. So, meaning, for example, God, by designing the world, gave us all free choice. Right? So if somebody, God forbid, wants to pull out a gun and shoot it at somebody, so did God plan that? Did God want that person to be killed? So I personally believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person free choice, and that free choice creates a lot of messes. Right? It creates a lot of good things, but it also creates a lot of bad things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't promise us that people aren't going to choose to do bad things in the world. All God guarantees us is that He'll clean up the mess. Oh, it's not fair. He'll make it fair in the end. But some people are before their time. And it's unfair. You understand what I'm saying? And that we have the trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works it out in the end. No. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works it out. Not in a way that we can see and understand, but He works it out. You know, it all balances out. When I mean the end, I mean when you add everything up. Okay, you know, it doesn't make people who suffered losses feel better. You understand what I'm saying? But in the abstract, that's the consequence you give when you make a world of free choice. Right? If you give people a choice, then they have to have the ability to have consequences. And anyway, turn page 2. Please. Where does this all come from? The nature of the day? The Mishnah says that you say something b'shas halel. So the Gemara says, this is Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Midika Amar b'shas halel, Michlal the Rosh Hashanah leka halel. You notice on Rosh Hashanah we don't say halel. You ever understand? Mm-hmm. Every other holiday we say halel. Rosh Hashanah is a chag, so why don't we say halel? Why? My time, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu says, Amru Malachi Hasharis Sifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ministering angel said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Mibnei Ma Ein Omi Yisrael Sira Levanecha B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. It's a good question. It's a chag. It's a holiday. Why don't they say Sira? Amar Lahem, said God, Efshar Melech Yosef Al Kisei Din. Is it possible a king is sitting in front of them in judgment, and the books of life and death are open before them, and the Jewish people are going to say, Hallel, oh God, this great God. Take it seriously. It's a heavy day. It's a day of judgment.
So we do it in other ways, do we not?
How?
I mean, other prayers say the same message Hallel says, no?
Well, I would say this. We do praise God, obviously, but there is a specific element. There's a mitzvah to say Hallel, to say Shira on Yom Kippur.
Okay.
That Hallel has a specific place and transforms the nature of the day. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And that's a significant halachic reality. So we don't invoke that halachic reality on a Yom Kippur. And we should. That's what the Gemara is really saying. I mean, we praise God. We say a lot of good things about God. So what I want to do today, I tried to like drag you down. Did I succeed?
Right? I'm depressed.
Good.
Oh, I'm depressed.
No, very good.
Patience for that.
Yeah. That could get you into big trouble. So don't make offers. You're not going to care if you don't mind. Okay.
Shavila.
Yeah. And hopefully, I'm going to uplift you again. As Henry said, you know, you're being judged no matter what. So the question is, how are you going to look at that judgment? How are you going to look at being judged? Do you look at it as a downer, as, you know, heavy, which it is, but there's also another way to look at it. And I'm going to try to show you a number of different sources that's going to hopefully uplift us and show us that din, judgment, is there, and it's heavy, but it's also joyful. It's also something to celebrate. It's also something that is unique and special, and without which we wouldn't be the people we are. Says the Mishnah, Ba'ba prakim ha'olam midon. I don't know why. I know why I gave this to you, but it's a fascinating midrash. The world is judged in four times. The Pesach al Hatvua, the Atzeres al Peres Ilan, the Pesach for grain, on Atzeres on Shvuas on the trees. I'm on page two in the middle. The Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, Kol Ba'i Olam Ovrim Lefanav Kivnei Marom. All the inhabitants of the world pass before God Kivnei Marom. What are Bnei Marom? Anybody want to tell me what Bnei Marom are? Like?
Sheep.
Okay. Shenamar, as it is written, Hayotzer Yachar Libam Hamevin El Kol Ma'aseihem. Someone who Yotzer Yachar Libam, someone who created them together, their hearts together, who understands all of their actions. So you have to ask yourself, right? The Mishnah is telling us the world was judged in four different ways. And all of a sudden the Mishnah goes off on this little tangent about Rosh Hashanah. Let's read the Rosh Hashanah part again. On Rosh Hashanah, all the inhabitants of the world over in the front of Kivnei Marom. And you notice that the Mishnah is starting to get a little poetic now. Like sheep, like Kivnei Marom. How do I know? And it proves it to you. Hayotzer Yachad Libam, he who created their hearts together, Hamevin El Kol Ma'aseihem, who understands all of their creations. Can I ask you a question? What does that pasuk have to do with sheep? You understand the question?
Sheep.
What?
The sheep herder owns the sheep.
Again, the pasuk. Remember, when the Mishnah comes, it gives you, it tells you something, and it gives you a proof. Hayotzer Yachad Libam, who creates together their hearts, who understands all of their actions. And that's why he treats them like sheep.
It follows?
It follows?
Because they go together like a herd.
Okay. Okay. So now we have suggestions. Cheryl, Ida says, because they follow like sheep. Cheryl says, because they heard. They heard like sheep. Okay.
Hashem is our shepherd.
What does the pasuk focus on? The pasuk doesn't focus on the sheep.
The shepherd.
The pasuk focuses on the shepherd.
He owns the sheep.
But it's not just he owns the sheep.
He owns
it,
but he cares about it.
So now, what I'm trying to show you is, we're having a Mishnah telling us that God judges us on Rosh Hashanah. And what should it really say? You know, life, death, you know, good and evil, you know, he's going to wipe us out. Who will live and who will die? And instead, what pasuk does the Mishnah choose? The first source about being judged in Rosh Hashanah, God is our shepherd. Hayotzer yachad libam hamevin el kol ma'aseihem. Let's look at the Gemara. This Gemara is not relevant to our discussion, but I have to show you the Gemara because it's so beautiful and so powerful. Aleph, see where it says Aleph in the middle? B'Rosh Hashanah kol ba'ei olam ovrim l'flanav kivnei marom. All of the people come kivnei marom. Now, by the way, see that phrase kivnei marom? Where do we mention it? Where do you see it? Where do you notice that? In the Mishnah Tokhet. Look back on the first page for a minute. See the third line from the bottom? V'chol ba'ei olam ya'avru nefanecha kivnei marom. Okay? But look how, by the way, look how the Paitan, look how the poet takes it. What does it mean to go like sheep? Kivakarat ro'e edro, like a shepherd inspecting his flock. Ma'avir tshono tachat shifto, causing the sheep to pass under his staff. Kein ta'avir v'tishpor v'timneh. Right? How does it sound in the Nisan HaTokev? What does a shepherd sound like in the Nisan HaTokev? What? No. What?
One, two, three.
Business! What?
This is how many sheep I have.
No,
this is what they're doing.
Right. Well, count. The tachtoch kitzva l'kol briyotecha. A portion of the fixed needs of all your creation. Is that a shepherd like Moshe Rabbeinu running after the poor sheep, taking care of their needs? No. That's like the Moshe Flat Shepherd, right? One, two, three, four. Get him in there. Very, very detached, very businesslike. So I want to show you, this is very interesting, the imagery of the shepherd comes from the Mishnah. Right? But the shepherd in the sign of Tokef, very severe. Very serious. The shepherd in the Mishnah is Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Maaseihem. Where does that come from? Anybody want to guess where that comes from? You recognize it? Nobody recognizes it?
Sadie.
What?
What is it?
Take a wild guess. Where does Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Maaseihem come from? If you want to guess, it comes from Tehillim Perek Lamed Gimel. Huh? Tehillim, very good. How do I know? Because I looked it up. See, but these tefillos only become meaningful when you look them up. When you go and say, what's this from? Because when you look them up, then you pull out what it's trying to get at. Okay? Let's look at Tehillim Lamed Gimel. So beautiful. We read it on Shabbos. We say it on Shabbos in Yom Tov. Page 2, at the bottom of page 2. I'm going to skip the name of Rome for now, the Mishnah, the Gemara, because it's I gave a drash on it last year, or 2 years ago. Anybody remember it? The three things, what it means, the name Aaron? Oh. Well, good, I can give it again another year. There's going to be somebody who's going to say, Rabbi, you gave that one already. You know.
Take it easy.
Yeah, that's right.
What happened to the
river? Wait, this past week?
Yeah.
What was it again?
Well, the truth is I never hear.
You have something and you don't hit something.
Oh, when is something on the side, not really on the side?
Did I miss it?
The answer is, I don't think I did. I talked about 9/11. It was too serious. Yeah. The answer is, it says in the Torah that you take the sacred Torah and put it. I don't remember the exact language. V'sim liyad. What is it? Next to the luchos. Somebody has a dvarim. We'll look it up afterwards. Okay. So I'm sorry. I'll look it up. Look up Rashi over there. Rejoice in God, O you righteous. Praise is wonderful for those who are righteous, for those who are straight, for the upright. Alright, so you already get a sense of what's this Tehillim going to be about? God is great. God is great in all different kinds of ways. Right? God is great. Anybody know the rest of that? God is great. He gives us chocolate cake. No, nobody remembers that?
Oh,
excuse me?
Bill Cosby.
That's Daddy's good. Okay, right here. That's great. All right. Shiru lo, Pasuk Gimel. Shiru lo shir chadash, hitivu nagein b'chino b'tshua. By the way, it's good for Rosh Hashanah. Sing a good song. Hey, tivu nagein bitruah. What's a truah? Make a nice song bitruah with blast with the shofar. Ki ashar devar Hashem, because God is righteous. V'chol maasehu be'emunah. All of His actions are in good faith. Oh, hev tzedakah u'mishpat. He loves righteousness and justice. Chesed Hashem malah ha'aretz. The kindness of God fills the world. All right, skip down a little bit. Pasuk Yud Bet. See what says Yud Bet, the beginning of the line. Asher Hagoy Asher Hashem Elokav. Fortunate is the people who have God as their God. Ha'am Bachar Lenachal Elo. The nation that shows Him as their inheritance. Mishamayim Hibit Hashem Ra'ah Et Kol B'nei Ha'adam. God looks down from heaven and He sees all the people, all of mankind. Mimkom Shifto Hishgiach. From His place of sanctuary, He looks down from Heshkar Hashgacha, right? He dwelled, Hishkiach, what is the translation? From the place of His habitation, He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Tashvav, Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Ma'asehem. He who fashions their hearts alike, who considers all their deeds. What does that sound? What kind of God is that? What kind of God is that? Huh? A God who looks at each and every one of His creations. It's a personal God. It's not an impersonal judge, a justice sitting behind the bench up high, you know, case closed. Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Ma'aseihem, who created them all together, who understands all of their actions and all of their deeds, who looks at each of us personally, passionately, carefully, and says, I know what you need. I know what you need. I know why you did that. I understand why you didn't do that. So now, is that the same B'nai Marom, the sheep over in the Son of Tokef? That's a very, very different judge. And sometimes I think on Rosh Hashanah, when the Son of Tokef is the highlight, it's like the thing that everybody has to be in for. We have to, you know, we have to psych ourselves up for that. But we forget, and I think we allow ourselves to sometimes forget, unfortunately, the other judge. The same judge? Who's the other judge? Who's the one that understands us, that created us, that loves us, that knows why we do things, that understands us, that knows what we need?
And that's why we have God that's doing more than one thing. And the same thing when
correct.
Has to be saved.
Correct. But what I'm saying, absolutely, the whole what I'm trying to communicate to you is, yeah, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Hadin. It's a day of judgment. But it's also Yom Hadin. Do you understand the difference? It's a day of judgment. On the one hand, it's the judge, the shepherd, who counts and you know, and wants to know, this one did this and this one did that, and, you know, brands. But it's also the shepherd who runs after each of his sheep. And we forget that sometimes. We focus so much on the heavy, we forget that the loving judge, the caring judge. Turn to page 3. This is a very different Rosh Hashanah piyut that we also say, but we say it in Shacharis. Do we say it in Musaf too? I don't remember if we say it in Musaf.
I think we have to go back.
What?
Yeah.
We go back. We do say it in Musaf.
Yeah.
A very different din. V'chein l'cha ha'kol yachtiru. Yachtiru, see the word yachtiru from the word keter. See the root of the word yachtiru, keter. We crown God. Le'el orech din, to God who prepares man for judgment. By the way, what is an orech din in Hebrew today? Right? What? God, if you want to, I'll paraphrase, to God who's our lawyer. Okay? You need a lawyer. We need a lawyer, and how? Le'bochein le'bavot, the yom din. He tests our hearts on the day of judgment. Le'goleh amukot, who reveals the depths on Badin in judgment. The Dover Mesharim, one who speaks fairness, the Yom Din, on the Day of Judgment. The Hoge Deot Badin, who analyzes ideas in judgment. Alright, now, fine. That's the God we know, right? That's the judgment. The Vatik V'Oseh Chesed, the Yom Din. The one who is pious and does kindness on the Day of Judgment. What do you mean pious and does kindness on the Day of Judgment? What kind of judge is that? Pious and does kindness. The answer is, that's the judgment. That's the other judgment. The Zocher Briso Badin, who remembers his covenant in judgment. You know, to be honest with you, not a very good judge. Right? What is the job of a judge? I ask you to be a judge. I want you to be impartial. Right? I want you to decide, yes or no, good or bad. Right? So we're saying to God, God, on the one hand, he's a really good judge, but on the other hand, he's a pretty bad judge on Rosh Hashanah too. Just the way we want him to be. Well, what's a judge?
I mean, you know what we're saying here,
the Zohar Bris,
that he remembers
the Zohar
Bris
Badin.
Yeah.
Injustice, in judgment?
Yeah, but he remembers the Bris that he made with our forefathers. Otherwise, we'd be all in trouble.
L'chomel ma'asav, to the one who has compassionate on his handiwork, b'yom din. Judge doesn't have compassion. A God has compassion. That's Yom Kippur. Right? Okay, I can understand. Yom Kippur, we ask for forgiveness. Slachna. Rosh Hashanah is about judgment. No, you misunderstood. L'kovesh ka'aso b'din. He covers over his anger in judgment. Not kovesh ka'aso birachamim, kovesh ka'aso badin. Le'odeh mach, I'm sorry, le'lovesh tzedakos b'yom din. He girds himself in tzedakah and kindness. Le'mochel avonos badin. He forgives sins in judgment. Le'norah shehilos b'yom din. To the one who is too awesome for praise. Le'soleach la'amusav badin. He forgives, what does it say? Pardons the people he bears in judgment. La'oneh l'karav, and you can think of the whole Aleph Beis. It goes through the whole Aleph Beis about how God, who judges us on the day of judgment, is a kind judge. The Poel Rachamav Badin, who engages his compassion. Skip a little bit. The Rachim Amo Biyom Din, who has Rachamim on his nation. The Shomer Ohavav, he guards those he loves. Badin. The Tomech Temimav, who supports his wholesome ones. Biyom Din. Now, what happened to Hine Yom Hadin? What happened to that? The answer is, that's only half of the picture. It's only half of the equation. And we let ourselves forget that. That on Rosh Hashanah, as much as it's a day of awe, and a day of fear, and a day of judgment, it's also a day of love. And a day of caring. And a judge who looks down and has tzedakah and mechila and compassion and kindness and chesed. And I think that's important for us to remember also. Okay. I think I made my point. Let's skip down. Skip to page 4. This is from a book written by Arnold Lustiger called Rabbi Soloveitchik on the Days of Awe. And he wrote in English based on some of the shiurim that the Rav used to give. I was sitting in my office and Manny Middleman was waiting for me to print something for him. And he was telling me, we're talking, and he said, Rabbi Prero, Olav HaShalom, used to go every year to hear the Rav's Tshuva Drasha. And he said, every year, the Rav Soloveitchik, used to give a Drasha every year. It's called the Tshuva Drasha. And he would give the Drasha for 3 or 4 hours. Stay. I mean, heavy. You know, no messing around. And he said, Rabbi Prero said, the 3 or 4 hours, he said, were like 3 or 4 minutes. He told me this tonight. And he said, I sat there for 3 or 4 hours and I wished he would talk for 3 or 4 hours more. I never heard the Rebbe. I'm not old enough to hear that kind of drasha. But he said, you know, and hundreds of people, they would pack the room. You know, you've ever been to YU, the Landlord Auditorium. You know, out in the hallways. People, how many people go to hear a shiur? When was the last time you saw a shiur that was packed so much out in the hallways, people stood for 3 or 4 hours? So he said, Manny said that he would come back and months later he said, oh, the Rav said this and the Rav said that. Yeah, he did. Said the Rav, the mood of pachad on Rosh Hashanah is reflected in the ministering well-known midrash. Pachad, what is pachad?
Fear.
The ministering angels asked before the Holy One, blessed be He, why doesn't Israel sing hallel before you on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? He said to them, the king sits on the throne of judgment and the books of life and the books of death open before him, and Israel should sing praise. Thus, the Rambam rules that Hallel is not said on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because they are days of repentance, fear, and awe, not of extra happiness. Due to this profound feeling of pachad, the Rav's great-grandfather, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, had a custom of fasting on Rosh Hashanah. And we talked about this in Minchan Maariv, how there was such a thing, a custom of fasting on both days of Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Yeah. Not at night. You can't fast at night, but during the day. What? I don't think his wife fasted. But, what? In Lakewood, I remember, we just went to Lakewood for my nephew's bar mitzvah. And his bar mitzvah is right now. It was yesterday. And his bris was on the second day. Was on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. I think the first day. In Lakewood, they break for Kiddush before shofar blowing. They stop. Everybody goes home for Kiddush. They say, "Okay, we're gonna have shofar blowing in half an hour," and then they come back. We should try that.
I want to see how many come back.
Shofar don't be there. What? It's not crazy. It's not crazy. Yeah. No, you can eat after shofar. You can eat. Yeah, before shofar. It isn't as crazy as you sound. Then people are a little more settled, and they, you know. It's not so crazy. Anyway. What? Who's sponsoring? Any sponsors?
Who was the Rav's great-grandfather?
Rabbi Yosef, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik. His great-grandfather, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik.
Who's the great-grandson?
His great-grandson was Rav Soloveitchik. His grandson was Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. Did that confuse you? They named him after his great-grandfather. Yet, paradoxically, Rosh Hashanah is also a day of rejoicing. The Rebbe recounted how Rosh Cheder Rebbe would say that there was no greater joy than placing the crown of kingship on Hashem, as it were, a coronation which takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Due to these conflicting themes, Rosh Hashanah is a far more complex holiday than Yom Kippur. There is an allusion to this emotional complex in the final verses of the psalm recited responsibly immediately following the Amida of the evening service. King David announces, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and let the everlasting doors be lifted up, that he nasu pitchei olam, and the King of Glory shall come in." Mi zeh melech hakavod? Do you recognize who is this King of Glory? Hashem melech hakavod. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Initially, God's dominion is foisted upon men against his will. Hashem rules over the earth whether or not we accept him as our ruler. The doors are passive, yielding to an omnipotent God whose sheer power subjugates all. Such a king is distant from his subjects. The emotion that is appropriate for this sudden encounter with the God's awesome might is dread, fear. The initial shofar blast heard on Rosh Hashanah, the tekiot in the Yusuf, reflect this sense of trepidation. There are no introductory verses of prayer or petition between the blessings and the actual blast. They come upon us suddenly in a charged atmosphere reflecting our state of pachad. However, in the two concluding verses of the Psalms, there was a subtle change in tone. You ever notice this? You almost say the same thing over again twice. Su sharim poshechem misersei v'hi nazu pitei olam v'yavu melech hakavod. And then what's the next words? Right? We say the same thing again. Except in the first one it's vihinasu, they will be lifted. And the second it's usu. You'll notice it. You'll look at it. Next time you get the Shir Shayom on Sunday, you see that, you'll notice it repeats itself. However, in the two concluding, I'm on the top of page 5, in the second paragraph. In the two concluding verses of the psalm, there is a subtle change in tone. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up. Ushu, lift them up, everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? Mihu zeh melech hakavod? The Lord of Hosts. Hashem hu melech yizuz b'givor. Hashem hu melech hakavod. Selah. Here the gates open not of their own volition. The everlasting doors are not flung open by Hashem. They are opened by man who welcomes his entry. Hashem rules with man's consent, as reflected by the biblical verse, by Yehoshua Melech, and he was king in Yeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Hence, the second theme of the holiday of Rosh Hashanah is introduced, joy. This emotion as a theme of Rosh Hashanah is discussed in the prophet Nehemiah. Eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Many Rishonim would actually recite the passage reserved for the festivals during the Amidah of Rosh Hashanah. Ratitein lanu, and you have given us, Hashem, our God, occasions for happiness. Mu'adim l'shimcha, chagim uzmanim l'shashon, et yom hazikaron hazeh. So we don't say that, it's not in our davening, but many would. Indeed, similar to the festivals, the holiday of Rosh Hashanah annuls periods of mourning due to this aspect of happiness. You ever notice that? A person who loses somebody on Erev Rosh Hashanah, my uncle actually lost his father on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So how long do you sit Shiva for?
An hour.
Why? It's Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom Kippur. Shouldn't be a holiday. No. It's also a day of joy. It's also a holiday.
Shoshim
is over. Akasach Shoshim too. Right. The second set of shofar blasts, the tekiyos d'me'umad, as heard during the Musaf prayer, reflect the mood of happiness. The shofar section proclaims, "And on your days of rejoicing and festive occasions, you will blow trumpets." Similarly, Malchiot affirms that God's rule will willingly be accepted by mankind. All inhabitants of the earth will know and recognize that to you, every knee will bend. As this transformation takes place, the emotion of pachad, of fear, gives way to a new, more mature emotion, yira, or awe. So I would like to add, and look at his footnote, says the Rav, see the footnote 14? The Kabbalists refer to the first day of Rosh Hashanah as Dina de Takifa, a harsh day of judgment, while the second day involves Dina Rafia, a lighter judgment, reflecting the two themes of Rosh Hashanah. There's two types of judgment on Rosh Hashanah, and they both happen at the same time. Yes, it's Yom Hadin over Nishana Tokef, But it's also the Yom Hadin of Uvechem Lecha HaKol Yaskiru, the Tomech Tanima of the Yom Din. So which one is it? It's both. But don't look at it like a downer. It's all, yeah, it's a little bit of a downer, it's a little bit scary, but it's also exciting and fascinating and joyous and wonderful. And the people who aren't there, they're being judged, but they're only getting the bad part. They're missing out all the good. They're missing the excitement and the joy of being judged one-on-one. You know, like, it's really true. All of us, think about it in terms of your parents. I don't care if your parents are alive, your parents are no longer alive. All of us live to be judged favorably by our parents, in a sense. We all want our parents to look at us and say, ah, you did good. Right? Right? Who wants to be judged? I don't want to care what my father thinks of me. What do I care what my mother thinks of me? The answer is, sometimes being judged and being held up to snuff is the most fulfilling thing you could have. Sometimes being judged is tremendous, is wonderful. The progression from Pachad, I'm back on page 5. The progression from Pachad to Yira is implied in our Rosh Hashanah prayer. And therefore, place your fear on all your creations, Tein Pachtecha, and you will be held in awe by all your creatures. The arousal of Pachad in Rosh Hashanah is not meant to leave the Jew permanently paralyzed. This powerful and ultimately destructive emotion must be transformed into a mobilizing, constructive force during the days leading up to Yom Kippur. Yira suggests reverence and loyalty, as exemplified in the biblical command, every man shall revere his mother and father. Ish aviv v'imo ki ra'u. The joyful acceptance of God as our King reflects a process of spiritual maturation in the penitent. Yira is not based on visceral fear, but rather reflects a cognitive understanding of God's power. Yira in turn prompts introspection and positive, concrete action through the remainder of the intervening days, culminating with Yom Kippur. The transformation from Pachad to Yira facilitates the necessary progression from Hirhur Tshuva, thoughts of Tshuva and Rosh Hashanah, to Teshuva itself during the remaining days of repentance. So we're about to stand before God on Yom Hadin. And so I think that all of us, on the one hand, yeah, we feel the Pachad. We should feel that awe of being judged by the distant, by the harsh judge. But also try to feel the loving judging, the caring judging, like that shepherd who looks after each and every one of us. And sometimes I think that's harder to feel. Sometimes it's easy to feel the din, God's hand of justice. You say, what can I do? God judge me. But it's harder to see, you know, the warm enveloping hand and to feel God surrounding us on Rosh Hashanah and to be judged in that way, in the loving way, in the way that a parent judges a child. I think that's something that we all have to struggle with also. Not just to see the bad in our lives and to see the judging and to see the harshness and to see the negativity, but to see the positive as well. And to try to think of it, try to think of God not so much in the Nesana Tokif term, but try to think of God in the other way. The Chomel Ma'asav, He who has compassion. The Solech La'amusav, how does He say it? L'vasik v'yosech chesed v'yomdin. The Kadosh Baruch Hu does kindness to us. And to make it a day not just of fear, of pachad, but of yira, but of awe and reverence. Okay.